Carl? I shook my head as his frown deepened, realizing he had no idea who Carl was. I focused, took a few moments, and then tried again. The doctors at Johns Hopkins, they did skin grafts.
Skin grafts?
I nodded. I had the best doctors. There are barely any scars. Well, my backside, where they had grafted the skin, was also a different pink, but I doubted anyone would be seeing that anytime soon. His thumb smoothed over the inside of my wrist in a slow swipe, sending a bolt of sensation up my arm. He didn't say anything for a long moment as his gaze held mine. The golden flecks in his eyes were brighter now, making them more hazel than brown.
They said I couldn't see you. I asked. I even went to the county hospital.
My heart dropped.
You did?
Ryder nodded as the tension eased around his mouth.
You weren't there, or at least they didn't tell me. One of the nurses called the police. I ended up...
He shook his head.
It doesn't matter.
You ended up... What? I asked. Because it did matter. Everything that had happened to Ryder mattered, even when it had felt like the world couldn't have cared less. His thick lashes swept down for a moment.
The police and CPS thought I'd run away, which was dumb as shit. Why would I have run away to a hospital?
Probably because Child Protective Services had a file on us the width of the Honda. And also probably because Ryder and I had run away before. More than once. I'd been 8, and he'd just turned 9 when we'd decided that we would do better on our own. We'd made it to the McDonald's 2 blocks down the street before Mr. Henry found us. Then there were the other times. Too many to count. Ryder laughed then, and there was a tug in my chest because when I looked up at him, there wasn't a smile on his striking face.
That night, he swallowed. I'm sorry, Mouse.
Flinching, I stepped back, but he kept a hold of my arm.
I would have stopped him, but I didn't. His eyes were darker. I should have tried.
It wasn't your fault, I whispered, sickened by what he was saying. I stared up at him. He seriously believed what had happened was because of him? His head tilted to the side.
Yeah, I made you a promise. I didn't keep that promise, not when it counted.
No, I stated, and when he started to reply, I pulled my arm free. Surprise scuttled across his face. That wasn't a promise you should have ever had to make. Not to anyone. He'd promised to be there for me forever, and he'd done everything possible not to break his word. There were things that couldn't be controlled, especially by a kid. His brows flew up, and then his lips did a slow curl.
I don't think you've ever told me no before.
I opened my mouth to point out that I'd never had a reason to, but the thump of music intruded. It was a weird wake-up call, reminding us that we weren't in our own little bubble. There was a world around us. As the music drew closer, the low bass rattling the windows of the truck beside us, Ryder's gaze flicked behind me. Then he stepped closer so that his worn sneakers brushed my sandals. He dipped his chin as he reached around, pulling a cell phone out of his back pocket.
What's your number, Mouse?
It was obvious that he was leaving, and I didn't want him to. I had so many questions, a million of them. But I gave him my number as I smoothed my damp palms down my jeans.
Yo, Ryder, you ready?
Came the voice from the thumping car. I recognized it from speech class. Hector.
We've got a roll.
Ryder looked past me again, and he sighed. Stepping back, he picked up his notebook and then grabbed my bag off the pavement. Moving forward, he draped it over my shoulder, his fingers agile as he scooped the strands of my hair out from under the strap. A half-grin appeared as his gaze moved over my face.
Mouse. Someone is gonna kick your ass,
Hector called, and my heart jumped in my chest. But I relaxed when I realized his tone was light. He was teasing him. Ryder dropped his hand and stepped around me, as though he had some kind of gravitational pull. I turned. The car was idling behind mine, an older Ford Escort with blue racing stripes. Hector was in the driver's seat, grinning widely with one arm out the window, dark hand tapping along the side of the door.
"Hey, mommy,"
Hector called out, his grin spreading as he bit down on his lower lip.
"Qué cuerpo tan brutal!"
I had no idea what he just said, but it seemed to be directed at me.
"Shut up,"
Ryder replied, planting his large hand in Hector's face and shoving him back into the driver's side of the car.
"No la mires."
I still had no idea what any of that meant, but there was something about the words he and Hector spoke that didn't sound like the typical Spanish I heard from Rosa and Carl at home. Then again, it could have been Spanish, and I wouldn't know, since they had given up trying to teach me the language a long time ago. A rumble of deep male laughter rose from inside the car, with Hector kicking his head back against the seat. A second later, I saw a younger face I recognized. Jaden. He was leaning from the passenger seat, across Hector.
"Hey," he yelled, "I think I know you." "You don't know her,"
Ryder replied as he yanked open the back door. Twisting into the seat, he looked at me one last time. Our gazes locked for a brief moment, and then the door closed, tinted windows shielding him. The escort peeled off. I stood there, vaguely aware of someone climbing into the truck parked beside my car. In a daze, I climbed in behind the wheel and placed my bag in the passenger seat. "Holy crap," I whispered as I stared out the windshield. "Holy crap." Chapter 4. I couldn't recall exactly how I made it home, which was probably not a good thing. The drive had been spent in a daze. By the time I walked into the house, seeing Ryder no longer felt real, as if I dreamed him up. I drew in a deep, calming breath. 4 years. 4 years of peeling back the frayed and damaged layers. 4 years of undoing 10 years of crap, of doing what I could to forget everything. Everything except for Ryder, because he deserved not to be forgotten. But he was the past, the good part of my past, but still, a past I didn't want to remember. I barreled through the house, skidding into the kitchen. Rosa was there, wearing pale blue scrubs decorated with kitten paws and her hair pulled up in a ponytail. She had made it a point to be home early today. She raised her brows as she turned to me.
"Whoa, speed racer. Where are you heading to?"
she asked, setting her bowl on the counter. From where I stood, I could smell the Italian dressing. So many words bubbled up in me, and the urge to tell her about Ryder hit me hard because I needed to make it feel real again. But my throat sealed off. If I told her about Ryder, there was a 99% chance she would flip out. Because Rosa had been there when every frayed and damaged layer had been peeled off me. Even though Dr. Taft had been, "Team, accept your past," and they typically agreed with everything Dr. Taft said, she and Carl were, "Team, the past is your past." They firmly believed that all facets of said past should stay where they belonged. And Ryder was definitely the past. So all I did was shrug as I veered over to the fridge, grabbing a Coke.
"How was your first day?"
she asked, even as she frowned at my choice of beverage. Turning to her, I smiled, even though it felt like there were tiny snakes wiggling around in my stomach. They'd been there since I'd gotten in the car. Rosa tilted her head to the side and waited. I sighed as I rolled the can between my hands. "It was okay." Her lips curved into a smile, and tiny lines formed around her eyes.
"That's good. Terrific, actually. So, no problems?"
I shook my head. "Meet anyone?" Seconds away from shaking my head again, I caught myself. There is a girl in my English class.
Astonishment flickered over her face. "Did you talk to her?"
That got a shrug from me. "Kind of." She looked like I'd sprouted a third arm and was currently waving it at her.
"What does kind of mean, Mallory?"
I opened my Coke. She's in my class, and she introduced herself to me. I said, like, maybe 7 words to her.
The look of surprise gave way to a broad smile, and I stood a little straighter, momentarily forgetting about Ryder's unexpected appearance. The smile on her face was full of pride, and I basked in the warmth of it. Show us. That was what Carl had said this morning, and that smile told me I was showing them. Rosa knew firsthand how far I'd come, and how big a deal it was for me to be comfortable enough to talk to a stranger, even if it was only 7 words.
That is so good.
Walking to me, she wrapped her arms around me and squeezed tight. I inhaled deeply, welcoming the weird scent of antibacterial soap and the faint trace of apples from the lotion she used. She brushed her lips over my forehead and then pulled back, clasping my arms.
What did I tell you?
That it wouldn't be hard, I said.
And why?
I fiddled with the tab on my soda. Because I've already done the hard work.
She winked. That's my girl.
She gave me another squeeze.
I'm sorry that I couldn't be there this morning. I really wanted to be.
I understand. My smile grew, stretching my face so much it nearly ached. Rosa might not have been my mother by blood, but she was everything a mother should be, and I was so damn lucky. Her mouth opened, but her cell went off. Holding up her hand, she grabbed it off the counter, answering it quickly. Her posture grew rigid as she turned sideways.
Damn it, she said. Can you hold for 1 sec?
She hit the mute button.
I've got to head into the hospital. There are some complications from the surgery this morning.
Oh, no, I whispered, hoping she didn't lose the patient. If you Googled the word strong, I swear Rosa Rivas appeared beside it. But she felt every patient's loss like it was a family member. It was the only time I saw her drink. She'd take a bottle of wine and disappear into the study. Doors closed until Carl coaxed her out. I always wondered if it was because of Marquette, or if every doctor was that way. Marquette had passed away 5 years before the night I entered their lives, so they were coming up on a decade since her death, but I knew that couldn't have made their loss any easier to bear.
These things happen, Rosa said with a sigh.
Carl is going to be late. There are leftovers in the fridge. I nodded. Both of them worked at Johns Hopkins, where cardiac surgery was actually created, something I'd learned from them. Hopkins was one of the best hospitals in the world, and when they weren't in surgery, they were heavily involved in the teaching programs. She hesitated, glancing down at the still muted call.
We'll talk in the morning, okay?
Her dark eyes held mine for a moment, and then she sent me a quick, fleeting smile and started to turn.
Wait, I said, surprising the crap out of myself as she faced me, eyes wide, my cheeks heated.
What does nola mires mean?
I totally butchered the words like a typical white girl who couldn't speak any form of Spanish would.
Her brow shot up again.
Why are you asking that?
I raised my shoulders. Did someone say that to you?
When I didn't answer, because I was no longer sure I wanted to know what it meant.
She sighed. It basically translates to, don't look at her.
Oh. Double O.
She narrowed her eyes at me, and I had a feeling that was what we'd be talking about tomorrow morning. Giving her a wave, I hurried out of the kitchen and hit the stairs 2 at a time. My bedroom was at the end of the hall, overlooking the street, and next door to the hall bathroom I used. Rosa had once called it a decent-sized space. I considered it a palace. It fit a full-size bed, a wide dresser, and desk. The window seat in the bay window was my favorite. Great for people watching. The best thing about this room, and I always felt terrible for feeling this way, was that it hadn't belonged to Marquette. It was hard enough driving her car and contemplating the college major that had once been her dream. Sleeping in her old bed would have been too much. Dropping my bag on the bed, I grabbed my laptop off the desk and wiggled into the corner of the window seat, placing the soda on the ledge. As soon as the computer popped out of hibernation mode, my instant messenger dinged. Ainsley. Her profile icon was from the summer, her blonde hair streaked by the sun and oversized sunglasses covering half her face. She was giving the camera some pretty hardcore duck face. Her message read,
"You make it out alive?"
I grinned as I shot her a short, "Yes."
"How was it?"
Biting down on my lip, I closed my eyes briefly and then typed out what I'd been dying to scream from the top of my lungs. "Ryder is at my school." My laptop immediately blew up, with a long strand and different variations of OMG that flowed into an endless stream of "Eee!" Ainsley knew about Ryder. She knew about how I grew up. Not everything, because some things weren't any easier to type out than they were to speak about. And she also understood that I sometimes wasn't the most talkative person. But she got what a big deal this was.
"You haven't seen him in 4 years. I'm about to pee my pants. Mal, this is so epic. Tell me everything."
Still nibbling on my lip, I typed out a recap and was periodically interrupted by her OMGs and squeeze. When I was finished, Ainsley shot back,
"Tell me you got his number."
I didn't get his number," I typed back. "He took mine." That appeared to be acceptable to her, and we chatted until she had to go. Ainsley's online activity in the evenings had been limited after her mom discovered the pictures she'd been sending her boyfriend, Todd, back in July. They weren't even that bad, just her in her bikini, but her mom had freaked out with a capital F and had, much to my amusement and horror, made Ainsley watch videos on childbirth as a form of sex ed. Needless to say, Ainsley was positive she would never have children, but that hadn't stopped her, and she was still super interested in sex. She signed off after making me promise we would see each other this weekend. I spent the rest of the night puttering around the house aimlessly, too riled up to eat much of Rose's leftover chicken, even though it had been baked in slices of orange and lime. I tried not to think about school or Ryder or stare at my cell phone because it had been silent all afternoon and evening. But it was nearly impossible to keep my mind off those things because, holy crap, today had not gone the way I'd expected. I mean, I didn't end the day in tears, rocking in the corner somewhere, and even though I'd failed at lunch, I'd managed to speak to Kiera. 7 words were better than none. I'd passed my first day without any major breakdowns. That was something to feel good about, and I did, but I didn't know what to think when it came to Ryder. Pacing in front of my bed, I idly ran my hand over the slightly raised skin of my inner arm. That overwhelming mix of desperation and anticipation swirled inside me. I was excited to see him, to talk to him again, but God. It was hard to even really think about, because when I thought about Ryder, another emotion festered inside me. Guilt. Stopping in front of the window seat, I squeezed my eyes shut. He had taken beatings because of me. Time after time, he'd gotten in between meaty fists and me, and the one time he couldn't stop it, I ended up escaping that life. I got a second chance, had been given a home with doctors for crying out loud, and practically had anything I want within my grasp. And Ryder? I had no idea. In my bones, I knew he didn't have this kind of life, though, and how was that fair? The acidic burn in the pit of my belly increased. How could he even look at me like he had today and not think of all he'd sacrificed for me? Ugh. I shook my hands out as I started pacing again. Okay, I needed to chill out and look at the positive side of all of this. Ryder was alive. He was in school, might even be in a relationship with a pretty girl in speech class, and even though I knew worse injuries could be hidden, there weren't any fresh bruises that I could see. He didn't appear to hate me. I would count all of that as a win, and ultimately, the most important thing to focus on was the fact that I'd successfully completed my first day of school. That was what was most important.
Speaking of which, I had to read the chapter assigned in history. I ended up reading ahead until I heard the garage door open below. Closing the textbook, I rolled over and turned off my light, knowing that Carl or Rosa wouldn't come in if they thought I was asleep. Too many months of me not sleeping had made them wary of ever risking the chance of waking me up. Just as I started to doze off, my cell dinged from where it rested on the nightstand. My arm shot out like a bullet, and I snatched it up, my heart leaping into my throat. There were two words texted from an unknown, local number.
Night, Mouse.
Chapter 5. The following morning, I could practically see the wheels of doom churning behind Rose's eyes as she quizzed me on why I'd asked her what I had the day before. I should have kept my mouth shut. Rosa was brilliant, and she was as observant as a high-strung cat, and the fact I was asking her to translate what she informed me that morning sounded like Puerto Rican had her little ears twitching. I'd stared at that text message, those two words, for a ridiculous amount of time, absolutely paralyzed by the infinite amount of things I could have texted back, that by the time I settled on a similar response, it was past 1 a.m, and I was too worried about waking him up to respond. I was such a dork. Seriously. Now I was sleepy, and I learned pretty quickly that trying to navigate the crowded halls of the high school while half asleep could have been a plot straight out of one of the dystopian novels I'd read. Dumping my speech textbook into the steel-gray tomb of my locker, I grabbed my first two classes' texts, knowing I'd have time to swing by to switch out books later. I closed the door, doing everything in my power not to think about seeing Ryder, while telling myself that if Kiara talked to me today, I would totally respond like a normal person. The door got stuck. Sighing, I pulled it out and put a little more effort into slamming it shut. It latched this time. Satisfied, I hitched up my bag and started to turn. You? Twisting at the waist, I searched out the sound of the voice, and then I saw her. The girl from speech class. The girl who had touched Ryder in a way that said that happened a lot, and Ryder was okay with it. It's you. Her brown eyes narrowed. I want to live a life of denial right now, but it's really you. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the girl with the tiny braids who'd said hi to me yesterday stop a few feet from us, eyeing the locker this girl stood in front of. She backpedaled and spun in the opposite direction. Oh, man, that wasn't a good sign. The girl in front of me pursed glossy pink lips. You have no idea who I am, do you? Slowly, I shook my head. I know who you are, and not because you're in my speech class. I just can't believe it's you. She continued. I figured you'd be dead or something by now. My heart dropped to my feet. Second day of school, and I was already getting death threats? The strap of her beat-up olive-green messenger bag slipped an inch off her shoulder. I'm Ryder's girlfriend, she said flatly. Oh. Oh. Well, that did explain the touching. There was a weird sensation in my chest. Wasn't quite disappointment. More like acceptance. Of course I figured as much yesterday when I saw them walking into class, and he was gorgeous. This girl was stunning. It made sense, even to someone like me who had no experience with the whole boyfriend-girlfriend thing. But I did watch TV. I read books. I had Ainsley. I knew Ryder's relationship with this girl made sense. She eyed me speculatively, like she was trying to figure something out. He's talked about... What's going on? Jaden appeared at the girl's side, like out of thin air. Up close this time, I realized he was probably younger than this girl and me. Maybe a freshman or a sophomore? His eyes, the same light green color as Hector's, weren't as red as they'd been yesterday when I'd seen him in the hall. The girl glanced down at him, as surprised as I was to see him. What do you want?
Don't be a puta, Paige.
Those green eyes rolled. But his lips twitched into a grin as he reached over and tugged on her thick braid.
What are you today?
The ghetto Katniss?
She snatched her braid free. You don't even know who Katniss is, you little punk. You probably think the Hunger Games is what happens after you get high.
Sounds about right.
Jaden winked at me, his smile sly.
I know you. We ran into each other in the hall yesterday.
He paused.
And I saw you talking to Ryder after class, out in the parking lot.
My gaze darted to the girl, to Paige. Her stare was glacial. Are you mute or something? You haven't said one word to me, she said.
I was so not mute.
Jaden's brows knitted together as he eyed her.
That's a stupid question, Paige. I just said I saw her talking to Ryder.
You know what? Her face scrunched up, and somehow she managed to still look good. She twisted toward him, planting her hands on her hips.
Boy, you have enough shit going on, you don't need to be all up in my business.
He cocked his head to the side.
Brave words from the chick who's always all up in mine.
They were obviously distracted with one another, and as the two bickered in a way that said this wasn't the first or the last time they would, I pivoted around and eased into the mass of students heading to class.
Are you mute?
My cheeks were burning by the time I reached my class, and the embarrassment quickly festered into anger, mostly at myself. I could have said something to her, anything, instead of standing there like I didn't have a functioning tongue. And God, she was Ryder's girlfriend, for real. The girl that asked me if I was mute, the girl I just stood in front of like a loser, was his girlfriend. I resisted the urge to bang my head on my desk. Mute. I hated that word with a passion. Everyone had believed I was mute. Miss Becky and Mr. Henry, group homeworkers, CPS, even Carl had thought that when he and Rosa first met me. Only Ryder had known that it wasn't true, that I could talk just fine. But I didn't speak today. Dr. Taft had this fancy phrase for why I hadn't spoken for so long. Post-traumatic stress syndrome, he called it, because of everything I'd experienced as a small child. Half of our therapy sessions had been dedicated to working on coping mechanisms and ways to combat it. It had taken so much to get where I was today, to a point where I no longer felt like I needed the therapy sessions, and a handful of minutes made me feel like I'd taken 20 steps backward, like I was the Mallory I'd been at 5 years old, and then at 10, and at 13, the Mallory who did and said nothing, the Mallory who just stood there in silence because that seemed like the safest route. I hated that feeling. I clenched the pen tight in my hand, ignoring the way my knuckles ached. Tears of frustration burned the back of my throat, and it was hard to focus in my chemistry class, even harder not to cave to the messy ball of emotion, especially when it struck me that I was sitting in the back of the class again, not drawing any attention to myself. Kira immediately swiveled toward me at the moment she sat down in English class. Okay. I have a really weird question for you. Caught off guard, I blinked as my stomach dipped a little. Was she going to ask if I was mute? She smiled as she tucked a stray curl back behind her ear. It popped right back out. Bright blue earrings dangled from tiny lobes. Have you ever thought about trying out for cheerleading? I stared at her. This was totally a joke, right? Then I glanced around the classroom. No one was looking at us or holding their phones up, recording this moment for posterity. I mean, you look like you're pretty sturdy. You could be the base or a back spot, she said, shrugging like she hadn't just said I looked sturdy. Look, we're kind of desperate. Not a lot of girls around here are into it, and one of my teammates broke her wrist yesterday in practice, so I thought about you. She ran her hand down her slim arm, twisting the blue bangle at her wrist. So, what do you think? You're really cute, and the blue and red uniform would go great with your hair, she suggested, glancing at the door. My tongue felt thick, and my throat swollen as I reached deep down inside my head and forced myself to live up to all the work I'd done to get to this point. I'm I'm not really the rah-rah type.
One dark brow arched elegantly.
Do I look like a rah-rah type?
I shook my head, unsure if that was the right answer or not. I had nothing in common with cheerleaders. They were loud and talkative and popular and pretty and about 1,000 things I had absolutely no experience with. Then again, I really wasn't sure if all cheerleaders were loud and talkative and popular and pretty. Kiera was the first one I'd ever met. So I was basing my assumptions off movies and books, and Lord knew the movies and books kind of sucked when it came to stereotyping things. Wincing, I realized just how offensive my statement could have seemed to her. The rah-rah type? Sometimes it was better not to talk. She laughed softly. It's really fun. At least think about it, okay? The pen I was squeezing in my hand was seconds away from imploding blue ink all over my fingers.
Okay.
Her smile spread across her cheeks. Cool. You have B lunch, right? Next period? Thought I saw you yesterday, but I think you left the cafeteria. And I saw you in speech class, right? Then again, it's hard to see anything other than hot Hector. Nodding, I wasn't sure where this conversation was heading. Well, if you get bored or anything at lunch, find me. Flipping her gaze to her notebook, she wrote out the date at the top of the right-hand corner. I'm usually up front, at the loud table. Hard to miss us. Was she inviting me to lunch? Oh my God, Paige and her Katniss braid could suck it. This was major, like a huge step in the right direction, and as Ainsley would say, if I didn't speak up, I might as well sew my mouth shut. Okay, I breathed, feeling kind of stupid, but this was equivalent to 4 Christmas mornings rolled into one. Kiera shot me a quick grin. When the bell rang, after 40 long minutes of listening to Mr. Newberry wax poetic about dead male writers, she wiggled her fingers at me and then disappeared into the hall. I made a pit stop at my locker, switched out books, and was relieved that Paige didn't pop out of one of the doors. I wasn't going to think about her or who she was to write her. With a slightly stupid pep talk playing over and over in my head, I headed down to the first floor and past the stacked trophy case. I can do this. I can do this. As I stepped into the busy, crowded cafeteria, my throat tightened, and I decided I should probably get my lunch first. But I couldn't help but look at the table I'd seen Kiera at before. She was sitting next to a girl, but the seat on her other side was empty. My breath caught. I can do this. I started toward the lunch line.
You're breaking my heart.
At the sound of Ryder's voice, I wheeled around, clutching my bag to my side. First thing I noticed was the faded Raven's emblem stretched over his broad chest, and then I forced my eyes up. The slight scruff along his jaw was gone. Nothing but smooth skin today. No notebook. Hands shoved into the pockets of his jeans, a familiar, crooked grin pulled at Ryder's lips, causing the dimple in his right cheek to pop. He stepped forward, and my heart did a backflip as he dipped his chin. I felt his warm breath on the side of my cheek as he spoke.
"You didn't respond to my text last night," he said, and there was a light teasing tone I didn't remember from before. "I thought maybe you didn't realize it was me, but that would mean someone else would be texting you good night and calling you Mouse. I'm not sure how I feel about that."
I shook my head so fast I was surprised the ends of my hair didn't smack him in the face. He laughed under his breath.
"I'm just kidding. You getting something to eat, or?"
My gaze drifted to the table, and I saw Kiera. She was staring at us. So was the blonde beside her. Kiera raised her brows at me as her dark eyes moved between Ryder and me. Ryder reached down and took my hand in his. The contact sent a jolt through me, and my gaze flew back to his.
"Come with me," he asked.
Thrown by his appearance and by his touch, I let him lead me through the shorter lunch line for pizza. My gaze was wild, bouncing all over the faces of those in line and sitting at the tables.
Then I realized why Kiera and half of her table were staring at us. Muscles in my stomach clenched. I was holding hands with Ryder, and he had a girlfriend. Mouth dry, I tugged my hand free from Ryder's. Even though he'd held my hand 1,000 times in the past, it didn't feel right after what I'd learned about him and Paige. Everything was... it was different now. Ryder glanced down at me, expression curious. I looked away. He loaded up a single plate with 2 slices. My hand tingled as he grabbed a bottle of water and a milk.
"You still drink milk with everything?"
he asked, scanning the drinks with his head tilted slightly to the side, and then he looked down at me. Our gazes met.
"Like you need it to survive."
I nodded as my heart turned into a gooey mess. He actually remembered that I drank milk every chance I got. That and Cokes, when Rosa and Carl let me get away with it. He held my stare for a moment, and then, before I could get to my wallet, he pulled out a series of crumpled ones and paid the cashier. I started to protest, but he sent me that look. The lowered brows look he'd sent me 1,000,000 times over when we were younger. The don't argue look. It was strange, seeing the 18-year-old version, and I mulled that over as he balanced the plate and drinks in his hands. He nodded toward the entrance of the cafeteria, and I glanced in Kiara's direction. Her head was bent toward the blonde, her tight curls going in every direction. It seemed like she was in a deep conversation, and she didn't look up. "Tomorrow," I promised myself. I followed Ryder out of the cafeteria, curious about where he was leading us. We passed the gym. Doors were open, and I thought I caught a glimpse of Hector jogging, a basketball in his hands as he shouted something in what sounded like Spanish, but was slightly different. Rosa had said it was Puerto Rican, and I was going to have to take her word for it.
"I have A lunch, but I heard you had B," Ryder said, slowing down his walk so I fell in step beside him. "Remember the guy who was sitting in front of us in speech class yesterday? The ass in the car. That's Hector, and he has a younger brother that you apparently ran into yesterday, Jaden. He was in the car, too. Anyway, Jaden said he saw you in the hallway yesterday during B lunch."
Even though I already knew that, I didn't say anything. The whole time he spoke as we walked down the hall, I kept stealing quick glances at him, to the point I was surprised I didn't walk into anything.
"So, in case you're wondering..."
He paused, opening the doors to the outside pavilion.
"Yeah, I'm skipping class right now."
My jaw unhinged. "Ryder!" He held the door open, head cocked to the side as I walked through. I stopped because, well, because he was just standing there, with our plate and drinks. His eyes searched mine.
"You know, hearing you say my name isn't something I ever expected to hear again. I don't give a shit about missing one class if that means we get to catch up a little."
When he started walking toward an empty stone picnic set, my tongue finally came unglued from the roof of my mouth. You won't get into trouble?" Glancing over his shoulder, he shrugged.
"Worth it."
That didn't reassure me, but I'd be lying if I said my heart didn't do a happy set of jumping jacks this time. He placed our stuff on the table and then sat, straddling the bench. Patting the spot next to him, he grinned. I dropped my bag on the tan pavers, and as I swung a leg over the bench, I stopped to look at him. He was watching me through thick lashes, head still tilted, grinning, so that lone dimple was begging to be touched. I realized that this was the first moment Ryder and I had been alone. No prying eyes, no adults watching over us, no one walking past us as there had been in the parking lot yesterday. We were alone. Just him and me, like it had been so many times in the past. I don't know why I did what I did next, but a decade of emotion swirled up in me. Maybe it had to do with everything he'd done for me in the past. Maybe it was just because he was sitting right there and we were in the present, and I'd never felt more present than I did in that moment. Bending over, I wrapped my arms around his wide shoulders and I squeezed him. Probably the lamest hug in history.
but it felt good. It felt magnificent when he rose up a little and circled his arms around my waist. His hug was better. When I pulled back, his hands slid off my waist to my hips and lingered for a moment. A strange sensation curled low in my stomach. He let go, but the heated awareness remained.
What was that for?
Shrugging, I sat, tucking both legs under the table. My face was hot. I just wanted to.
Well, you can do that whenever you want to. I don't mind.
I grinned at him, and when he chuckled, another strange thing happened. I shivered. I wasn't cold. Actually, quite the opposite.
Mouse.
Our gazes collided, and damn it, it was like suddenly being 13 again, sneaking food in a world that was just Ryder and me. Except, we were older now, and it wasn't just him and me against the world. I wasn't a little girl, he wasn't a boy. And back then he'd been... well, he had been mine. It wasn't like that now. He had a girlfriend who thought I was a mute, for starters. That realization really was like a kick to the stomach. So I probably needed to stop with the hugs, the weird curling stomach feelings, and most definitely the shivers. All of that needed to stop. The way my lips curved up at the corners wasn't going anywhere, though.
You have to tell me what you've been doing all this time.
He pushed one of the slices toward me, and then handed over a napkin I hadn't even seen him grab. The grin I was wearing, like a dork, spread as he did what I'd known he was going to do. Picked up the pepperoni, eating the slices before he ate the pizza. He cast me a sidelong glance, voice patient as it had ever been, while he finished off the pepperoni.
Mouse?
My gaze flickered up to the scar above his eyebrow, and my smile faded a little. I focused on the slice of pizza and took a deep breath. That night, the last night, I met someone in the hospital. Carlos Rivas, Carl. He is a burn specialist. Grabbing the milk, he peeled it open with long fingers. I noticed what looked like red ink on the inside of his pointer finger. He handed the carton over to me and I continued. He's married to Rosa. She's a heart surgeon. They both work at the hospital, and I think CPS told them I was mute, or that something was wrong with me. He frowned as he picked up his pizza.
You're not mute, and nothing is wrong with you. You're freaking brilliant. Screw that shit.
I shrugged a shoulder. They visited me a lot after I spoke to them. Pressing my lips together, I peeled off a huge slice of pepperoni. When I woke up after surgery, I asked for you. I asked Carl. It had been the first time I'd spoken to anyone outside that house in years. His head swung toward me sharply, eyes more gold in the sunlight than brown.
I really did look for you, Mallory. Like I told you, I went to the county hospital. No one would tell me where you were, just that...
He exhaled roughly.
Just that you weren't coming back.
I wish I'd had a way to see you. I kept asking, but... But everything had been scary and overwhelming. What happened to you? His brows lowered.
I was shipped out to a group home.
Folding what remained of the slice, he eyed it.
So there's more to this story, tell me.
Pressure settled in my chest as I offered him the piece of pepperoni. His lips twitched into a small smile. I spent a little time in the hospital, and then I was also placed in a group home.
Where?
Talking with him was a release I'd missed. It got easier with every passing second. The one near the harbor, not far from the hospital. Carl and Rosa. They visited me, and they eventually were able to foster me. His eyes widened as he stopped with the pizza halfway to his mouth.
You were taken in by doctors?
I tensed, wondering if this was when he was going to demand how in the hell that was fair.
I didn't know anything about what had happened to him. What if he was still in a group home, or worse? Because there were worse things. I couldn't stop the churn of guilt. I nodded. He dropped the pizza on the tray and his shoulders eased. His mouth relaxed.
Shit. Mallory, I'm so... Yeah. Doctors? That's good.
When he looked at me, I saw the relief in his gaze and wondered where he thought I'd been this entire time.
They've really taken care of you, haven't they?
I nodded as I plucked off another piece of pepperoni, and he reached over, his fingers brushing mine as he took it. There was another zap to my nerves. I didn't remember his touch eliciting that kind of response before, but it sure was pleasant now.
That car you were standing near yesterday, the Honda, is yours.
It was their daughter's. An eyebrow rose.
Was.
She died before I met them, almost 10 years ago. I think that's why they took me in, I explained, chewing slowly. His brows flew up. I mean, they never had any other kids. A moment passed. They have been really good, Ryder. I was very lucky.
I wish you never had to meet them.
Finishing off the slice, he wiped his hands on the napkin and then angled his body toward me.
I mean, I'm glad you did, because, Mouse, you deserve that kind of life, but...
I know what you mean. Relief poured into me. There wasn't an ounce of envy in his tone or in the way he looked at me. I took a sip of the milk. When they got custody of me, I was homeschooled, I explained. And then I decided I wanted to go to public school. His brows rose.
What made you decide that?
I want to go to college, I told him as I glanced up at the cloudless sky. College was ambitious, considering talking to a teacher made me want to hurl. But it was a big deal to me. College meant, at least hopefully, that I would eventually get a job and would have a life where I didn't have to worry about my next meal or have to rely on someone to take care of me. College was freedom. And Rosa and Carl, they want that too. I mean, I could still be homeschooled and go to college, but... Ryder waited. But you know how I am. How I was. My cheeks heated as I lowered my gaze to the milk carton. I'm not... good with people, and they thought I should try high school first. He was silent for a moment, but I could feel his eyes on me.
Well, I'm glad you decided to do this, if not.
If not, our paths probably never would have crossed. My stomach dipped at the thought. I looked at him, and my breath caught. He was staring at me in a way I wasn't exactly accustomed to, but that I'd seen before. It was the way Ainsley's boyfriend stared at her, maybe not as familiar, but definitely as intense. I squirmed, not uncomfortable, just suddenly overly aware of him. What about you? Dropping his elbow on the table, he propped his chin against his palm.
I'm not in a group home anymore.
When I started to turn to him, he glanced pointedly at my pizza.
You're gonna eat. Right now.
My eyes narrowed. He flashed a quick grin.
I'm with a foster family.
He shifted closer as I took a huge bite of the pizza.
It's actually Hector's family. His grandmother has fostered kids for years, helps with the bills and stuff.
I thought about the worn notebook and the frayed edges of his jeans.
Not that she does it only for that reason, you know? She's really great. A damn good woman. Anyway, that's how I met Hector and Jaden. Been living with them for a couple of years.
Extending his arm, he placed just the very tip of his finger against my cheek, causing me to suck in a soft breath.
Where did your freckles go?
I don't know, I said, my voice a strange whisper. They ran away. The deep chuckle came again, coasting over my skin.
You used to have 3, right here.
He tapped my cheekbone lightly, and then 2 over here. His finger grazed the bridge of my nose, and then he lowered his hand.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah. I wished I could tell him it was okay to keep touching my face, but that would probably be weird. Totally sounded weird in my head, and would be really inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. His lashes lowered, and the lopsided grin appeared.
I always knew you'd be beautiful one day.
My breath hitched as I sat straighter. What was left of the pizza, just the crust, was totally forgotten. My ears had to be smoking crack or something. A flush swept across his cheeks as one side of his lips kicked up.
I just never thought I'd get to see how beautiful you'd become.
Wow. He really had said that. Beautiful. Ryder said I was beautiful. The statement floored me, left me staring at him. I knew I didn't look like the worst thing out there. Ainsley loved my hair and eye combination, a product of what everyone guessed was an Irish background. But I figured I was pretty average. Average face, average body, neither big nor small. Beautiful wasn't an option that crossed my mind.
You're beautiful, too. I mean, you're hot, I blurted out. But I always knew you would be.
My eyes widened as I realized what just streamed out of my mouth, and his grin turned into a smile. Oh, my God. I did not just say any of that out loud.
You did.
Ugh. Tipping his head back, he laughed deeply, and he laughed like he had in those rare instances when something truly amused him. He did so with a freedom I'd envied. I started to place my hands over my flaming face, but he caught my wrists, holding them between us. His eyes were lighter, dancing.
I can pretend you didn't say that, if that makes you feel better, he suggested.
Oh yes, that would be fabulous. I nodded.
I won't forget it, though.
Embarrassment flooded me, but Ryder was grinning as he scooted closer and tugged me over. Before I knew what he was doing, he tucked my hips between his thighs and circled his arms around me, holding me tight to his chest. His really hard chest. The contact jolted me, like touching a live wire. It took a couple of seconds for me to relax. He was silent as he rested his chin on the top of my head, and I didn't say anything as I squeezed my eyes shut against the rising tide of emotion. Being this close to him again was something so powerful, the connection was tangible, a third entity. One hand drifted up my back, a slow slide under the weight of my hair. He curled his fingers around the nape of my neck. His chin moved, grazing my forehead. And the intimacy of the act was so different than any of the other times he'd been this close. An odd warmth settled in my muscles, like stepping out into the sun for the first time after a long winter. There was a moment when I wasn't sure if he breathed because I didn't feel his chest move under my hands. In the back of my head, I wondered how okay this was. I didn't want to pull away and break the connection, but I thought that maybe I should. This was innocent. It had to be. But it was also different.
Do you have someone to eat lunch with normally?
He asked. His voice seemed off to me. Deeper. Keeping my eyes closed, I wasn't sure how to answer that, and I also didn't pull away. I wasn't sure what that said about me, or if it said anything at all.
Mouse?
There's a girl in my English class. She invited me to sit with her. The arm around my waist seemed to have tightened.
Who?
Kiera. I don't remember her last name. A heartbeat passed.
I know her. She's in our speech class. Pretty cool girl. You going to take her up on the offer? If not, I can meet you for lunch.
But he had a class right now that he was supposed to be in. Then it hit me. Ryder. Wow, he really hadn't changed. Even after 4 years, even if he was supposed to be in class and even though he had a girlfriend, he would be there for me if I told him I needed him. Stupid tears pricked at my eyes. You don't need to do that. I'm going to sit with her. His fingers moved along my neck, searching out the muscles.
You sure?
My heart was in a puddle of mush. Yes, she invited me. She asked if I wanted to try out for cheerleading.
Ryder's hand stilled. Mouse. I grinned. You're not considering that, are you?
He asked, after a moment.
Then he trailed off and suddenly pulled back, arms and everything. The sudden loss of the closeness forced my eyes open. His profile was to me, jaw taut, and he was staring out over the pavilion toward the parking lot.
There was a car idling in the rows of parked vehicles, some sort of sedan. From what I could tell, the windows were tinted to the point you couldn't see who or what was inside. A door shut, and my attention swung toward the exit we'd come out of earlier. I saw Jaden walking out, hitching up his pants as he walked across the pavilion toward the steel gate.
Shit, Ryder muttered under his breath. I stiffened as a sense of wariness slipped over him. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
He watched Jaden slip out the gate and make his way to the car. The younger boy bent at the waist as the driver's window rolled down. Ryder patted my leg, drawing my gaze.
The bell's about to ring. Why don't you go ahead in?
Something cold and hard was etched into the lines of his face. I didn't like it.
Ryder, everything is okay. I promise, he said, tapping my leg again.
And then he stood as the double doors opened again. This time it was Hector who was coming outside, and the look on his face said he was not happy. Ryder took my hand, pulling me up.
I'll see you in class.
Nodding, I gathered up my stuff and stepped over the bench. Hector didn't look at me as he joined Ryder, and neither of them spoke as they pivoted, heading toward the gate. I watched them, knowing deep down that something was up, and whatever it was, it wasn't okay. Chapter 6. I didn't see Ryder in speech class. His seat was empty, and I couldn't help but think it had something to do with that car that had shown up. Although we got to spend some time catching up, I knew nothing about what Ryder had been doing these 4 years beyond living with Hector's grandmother. Some would probably disagree, but I wasn't completely naive or sheltered. I'd grown up in a house where I saw a lot of stuff. The month I'd spent in the group home was also pretty educational. Guys would hang around outside the building, recruiting younger kids to run drugs. I'd seen older kids in that house pass out mid-conversation. In a matter of a month, I knew kids who simply vanished, lost to the streets. I also had a good idea why Jaden's eyes were bloodshot yesterday. And a tinted-out vehicle rolling up into the parking lot probably wasn't full of people selling Girl Scout cookies. A niggle of worry formed in my belly as I wondered what kind of stuff Ryder could be up to. But under the worry was something else, something I wasn't sure I should acknowledge. Because Paige wasn't in class either, and I wasn't stupid. Ryder had left school, so had Paige. Whatever was going on, they were probably together. A burning sensation hit the center of my chest, and I told myself it was indigestion, that it had nothing to do with Riker holding my hand, telling me I was beautiful, when I knew he had to be telling Paige the same, and meaning it in a totally different way. It took effort to focus on Mr. Santos's lecture about different types of speeches. Santos paced, moving his hands wildly as he spoke. Excitement practically poured from the man. I glanced down at my binder, seeing only a half a page of notes. Not good. I focused, scribbling as much as I could. When the bell rang, I felt a little better about my notes. I headed out into the hall, busy shoving my notebook in the bag, and I didn't realize that Kiera had been waiting for me until she sidled up beside me.
So, did you get a chance to think about cheerleading?
She asked. Closing the flap on my bag, I winced. I seriously hadn't thought twice about her offer. I shook my head. She sighed as she wrapped her fingers around the strap of her bag.
Yeah, I figured it was probably a stretch, but hey, doesn't hurt to try.
No, it definitely didn't hurt to try. That whole theory pretty much summed up my life right now. Anyway, she said, catching the door to the stairwell and holding it open.
I saw you at lunch today. There was a beat as we were crammed onto the steps.